I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
This is the time of day where we, those of us in the studio here, look at the clock and go, my goodness, we have to make it till 6 o'clock. What are we going to do? What are we going to talk about? And then every day, next thing you know, boom, it's 6 o'clock and we made it. If we can make it till 6, we've cleared another week behind us. Good afternoon. You can help us do that with your calls and your input and your cooperation. 4 o'clock, Scott Sherman will be in. But let me welcome all of you to the large morning show in the afternoon on this, the 25th day of July, the 25th of July, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
And there may be people who say, that's getting old. No, you don't know old. We do things 20 years, 25. That's not old yet. May never be old. So welcome. We're glad to have you with us. Before I say, does anybody have anything to say? I know that one person in here has to update you on something that happened yesterday. Tim Woodburn, yeah. No, that's not an ooh-ah moment.
It's an updating.
Oh, okay.
Something's coming.
Tim Woodburn lost his wallet. Now let me, before he says anything, when he walked out of here yesterday, I said to Dan, I said, man, I hope he doesn't cancel all his credit cards, because usually after you do that, then you find it. And now here's Tim. Yep. Go ahead, Tim.
I went home last night and tore my house apart for 2 hours, and literally was pulling straws out of the earth, looking under bushes. Did my dog drag it outside through the doggy door? I was looking around my pool. I mean, I was looking between my mattresses. I was looking in rooms I knew I hadn't even gone in since I'd gotten home Tuesday night. And I was firmly...
Like the workout room?
Oh, yeah, like the gym. Sure.
The whole gym?
Yeah.
I'm one of those I've never been in.
I just hang shirts on it now when they come out of the dryer, the exercise bike and the treadmill. They're great for drying shirts.
Oh, I know.
They're great.
I have one.
For that. And I have a long vertical kitchen cabinet that's right next to a hutch that I have, which leads out to my porch room, and I never go in it, ever. The only thing I keep in there is plastic utensils when I host my barbecue, grilling tools, my dog food, and that's about it.
And let's make it clear to people that you have a dog. You don't eat dog food.
No, I have two dogs.
You have a
dog. Yeah, right. Okay. They're hard food I keep in there.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they were out of the hard food. I served them wet food and hard food in the morning, and I went and looked in that cabinet, and in a steamer bowl. I keep all like a cooking stuff there that I never use either, right? I have a steamer. It has different level trays in there. There was a steamer tray in there, and it had a box of ant and roach killer, little hotels, you know, right. a lot of arrivals, departures, you know, that thing. And there was my wallet in that bowl.
And it got there how?
I don't know that answer.
Well, that is sad and disturbing.
It's to the point where I was so shocked to see it there, because I never go in that cabinet, and I have no knowledge or remembrance of going in that cabinet, that I literally thought, I legitimately and literally thought somebody might have played a practical joke on me and came into my house before I went to bed, or like a neighbor or a kid or a family member or somebody, and then took. I don't know how it got there.
That's called dementia.
Right, as I was canceling my credit cards last night, I was cussing out St. Anthony, who Dan made me pray to on the air yesterday. I think our relationship is torn and probably irreparable after the tongue lashing I gave St. Anthony last night. And I found it.
Go ahead and tell him, though, what you did before. You canceled?
Oh, I canceled all
your credit cards.
Oh, it took me 2 hours. It took me 2 hours.
2 hours to cancel. Oh. And then you found it.
Because there's only a couple that you can cancel. I had 13. I had 16 things I had to cancel.
Right. Wow. Because if you think about it, it's more than just credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
There are insurance cards, there's other stuff.
Yeah, and so I had to cancel a bunch of things. I mean, you know, I had to request a new PI license for Missouri, a new PI license for Illinois, I was going to have to get a new driver's license for the DMV. I mean, all these things I was going to have to get. It was 16 total things I was going to have to do, not necessarily cancel, but 16.
Which would have taken more than 2 hours.
Right. Well, sure. Yeah, and so
wow.
I know. And it might be dementia because this will be the last show I ever do.
At the age of 49.
In my 40s.
Whoa. Yep.
Welcome to adulthood.
Wow.
Welcome to adulthood.
To adulthood.
You're not really grown up until you're out of your 40s.
And what I learned in my 40s is that God has a sense of humor, and he decided that it would be fun to create the male species and allow hair to grow on our heads until you get to be about 30.
In my case, until 23.
In your case, sometimes younger. And then it starts to remove from your head, and it starts to come out of your nose and on your back and on your shoulders and on your ears.
Right.
And that's what I learned. That's the number one thing I learned in my 40s, is that that's what happens to you in your 40s.
I got news for you. There's more. There's more to come. You'll learn.
Better?
You get hair down on your privates.
Well.
Dan, I think that happens about 12 or 13. Oh. Well, I'm glad you got your wallet.
Yeah.
That has to make you feel better.
It does.
Scott Sherman is already in the building. I told Scott, I said, Scott, and you, John, can you hear me?
Yes.
You're always welcome to come in. And you don't have to wait till Thor.
I appreciate it.
And you can't be preparing because you don't know what people are going
to
call.
No, this is the greatest thing of all. It used to be 3 hours of preparing. Yeah. Now it's just let's go. But I did notice something that Tim said Dan made him pray on the air yesterday. And I thought that was at the other station. We didn't do that here. I thought that was.
No, I suggested. I didn't make him.
You can't make anybody pray. You can't. But see, now Dan's going to go, see, I told you.
My mom.
St. Anthony. Well, no.
That's my mom always says, pray to St. Anthony if he lives.
Okay, what about all the people who have lost things and prayed to St. Anthony and didn't find them? And there are millions of them.
St. Anthony.
How do you
didn't like them?
Didn't like them? Okay, you know what that sounds like? That sounds like those snake worshippers in Tennessee. That if you truly are one with God, you'll get bitten and you won't die. And if it bites you and you die, well, he wasn't a real Christian. And the snake killed him. That's what that sounds like.
Salem witch trials.
Yeah.
If she floats, she's a witch.
Yeah.
If she drowns, she's innocent.
There you go.
Put her in the water.
So, well, whew, glad that's out of the way. Because that was part of, I think, why you were having such a bad day yesterday. A big part of it.
Well, I had the bad day 2 days before that.
Oh, that's right.
There's two days. That was just.
The bad day, because you had somebody contact you. Do they still have access to your house? Maybe they came to your house. And
No. I've got a whole new security system and everything in my house now, so there's no way that could happen.
I don't want to freak Tim out, but Charles Manson's girls used to do that. Before they killed people, they would go into someone's house and move the furniture around.
Just sort of a preliminary.
That's right.
See if they could get in and out without.
Yeah. Just calling, doing something.
And then
spooky.
They come back and kill them.
That's right.
Yeah. Not to scare you.
No, that was just to warm you up.
That's how Helen Keller's parents punished her.
How?
Killing her?
Rearranged the furniture.
Yeah. See, you know, Dan, I personally do not appreciate making fun of blind people. Maybe it's just me. Do you have any more for the Burke segment to add?
You know, not necessarily. I just was glad that went down the way it did. And I don't know if I was more angry or relieved when I found it. Because you know how you get mad at yourself?
Yeah, but you want to find somebody else to be mad at. Mm-hmm. But you can't. It's you. And that makes you even madder.
I'm just trying to think of a plausible explanation for how this happened. Because there have been a couple other times that I found things in my house that I know I didn't bring.
Have you ever sleepwalked? That's a legitimate question because there are people who do. And some of them don't know they do until somebody else goes, you know, you're walking around. What?
I have and called someone in the middle of the night. And I didn't even realize it. And I actually dreamed that I was calling someone. Well,
and
I
didn't
was
know
actually
you were really doing it.
I was really doing it.
So maybe you got up and in your sleep, even though your eyes were open, you put your wallet in there and went back to bed. It could happen. I don't think I have ever done that. My dad.
Oh, I have.
My dad did. He used to do it.
I slept walked a lot when I was a kid.
How about these people that get in the car and drive somewhere?
No, kidding.
Oh, no, I'm not kidding. That actually happens and they're asleep. Because police have pulled people over who were driving while they were asleep with their eyes open.
Yeah.
That is weird.
Did you ever watch the series Weeds?
A little bit. That was with John, what was it? Who?
Mary.
It was one of the SNL people. Kevin Nealon?
In fact, he's who I'm going to talk about. Yeah. Kevin Nealon got high a lot during that show. It was about a woman, you know, who was a housewife. Her husband died, and she grew marijuana to support her family. And there was a scene in Weeds in which Kevin Nealon played one of her friends and business partners, and somebody was taking a deuce on his front porch every morning. and he had no idea. It was just driving him nuts. And he, and, you know, and a couple times they would do it on the newspaper that had been delivered to his house. So, so now you got to clean up, but then you can't read your newspaper because it's a, sure the can. Double whammy of the deuce paper combo.
Oh.
And so he had this high tech and security system installed in his house. And he wakes up the next morning and he runs down to the front door and he opens up the door and there's somebody took a deuce right there on his front porch. So he runs over to the security system. It was him sleepwalking.
That's a great bit.
Sleepwalking and he was doing it.
My dad, I tell the story, my dad was alive, so I, yeah, he didn't care then that I told it. But he got, this is when he was in his 20s, maybe 30. I mean, he wasn't old. He got up in the middle of the night, and for no reason they've never figured out why. He just got up, walked into where the television was, and just peed all over the TV, and went back to bed.
Wow.
And my mother said she got up the next day, and she walked by, and it was wet around the TV. The TV, like there was a leak. And then my dad said, wow, he said, that's funny. He said, I dreamed last night that I, you know, peed on television. She said, well, it wasn't a dream. He actually did it. He had no clue that he had done it. He was asleep. And after that, as he got older and he started getting dementia, it became a very, very present. We had to take a couple guns away that he had because he would get up. He got up one night to kill an intruder who wasn't there. He was asleep looking for a handgun.
Wow.
And that said, that's okay, Daddy. No, that's gone. I'll take that from you. Yeah. And he had no idea he did.
That's what I did. I dreamed that I went in and made a phone call, and I called this girl that I was seeing, and in the middle of the night, and her sister answered the phone, I guess, because...
What time was it?
It was like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah, that's the middle of the night.
And she, the next day, I called, and she says, why did you call last night so late? And I said, what are you talking about? She goes, oh, no, you called. She goes, my sister answered the phone. You're lucky that she answered the phone. And she said, you made no sense at all.
Well, that's like now.
Yeah, I know. It's a normal it's a normal conversation.
that doesn't require you to call in the sleep. It doesn't make sense anyway.
She said that I asked for her, and then I started talking and kind of mumbling, and then I just said, all right, and hung up. And that was it.
Maybe you're speaking in tongues.
Maybe. But that was weird because it was like, oh, my God, I sleptwalked.
Well, I mean, here's a question. Scott's here. Here's a legal question. What if, and there's a history of a person, let's say, who sleepwalks, and it's known that this person does that. What if that person got up, got in the car, and killed somebody, got in an accident, killed somebody? They were asleep. Now, wouldn't that be a pretty good defense? What do you think? It's not deliberate. There's no intent. No drinking. Driving while sleeping. I would think that, well, I guess a prosecutor would say, well, with a history of sleepwalking, you shouldn't have had a driver's license. Well, that's ridiculous because a lot of people sleepwalk and they don't get up and go drive the car.
Well, for me, the thing is, like, the defense attorney proving that their client was asleep at the time of the accident.
Doesn't matter. Ignorance is no excuse for breaking the law, and the fact that you were asleep doesn't mean that you're still allowed to break the law.
The foreseeability of that could hurt that person. Plus, I'm thinking of it as the lawyer for the people he hit.
Mm.
I'd be like, that would be a good one because you know... You've got this problem, and you didn't hide the keys. You didn't tell somebody.
Do you believe in hypnosis? I mean, do you believe that a person can go, okay, I'm going to count back, and then you act like a chick and bark like a dog, get up, walk, and take your clothes off? Do you believe that people can do that? See, I don't.
I don't know.
I don't believe it.
There are videos on YouTube that I think you would believe it after you watch
them. Well, I've watched many of them. I still don't believe it. I think it's still set up. I really do. And I think sometimes people go along and participate because they want to be part of the act.
The one scenario that proved to me that it's legitimate is newspaper reporters who pride themselves on accuracy and being ethical and forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
17 employees of a newspaper in New York all agreed to be hypnotized as a group, and many of them were hypnotized and did things that they don't remember doing. that they were asked to do during the state when they were allegedly under hypnosis. And I don't think they would lie.
Okay. How about this legal case, Scott? Let's say that's true and a hypnotist can do that to some people. And let's say that you hypnotize somebody and go, okay, I want you to, you're now under hypnosis, I want you to go over there and I want you to get a gun and I want you to go kill my brother-in-law. And they do it under hypnosis. But they have, because they have no control of what they're doing. Is that defendable? Because if it's possible to do that, it's a dangerous thing.
I think it's a defense that the person that did it could do. But the hypnotist now is the...
No, the hypnotist is the murderer. They're on. Actually, yeah. They're the ones on... I think that's the one who should go to prison.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that you can get people to do something that they're not willing to do anyway.
See, act like a chicken, bark like a dog, get on your hands. That's one thing. And then I'd love to see in the same 17 reporters, if the hypnotist said, all right, I want you to get on the elevator, go to the top floor, and jump off this building. They're not going to do that.
Or if the hypnotist forgets to release them from the spell. If they don't snap their fingers, then they're hypnotized forever.
It's nonsense.
They just walk around.
I think it's nonsense.
You would think maybe just for fun, a hypnotist would not do that and just have people wandering around like chickens all day.
Right.
You'd see that.
See, if I were a hypnotist, that's what I do. I'd never snap my fingers.
Right.
For the rest of your life, you're just walking around like a chicken.
Because we know the high ethics that the hypnotist slash, you know, magician community has.
You could, like, rob a bank easily. Imagine being a hypnotist. You just walk up to the teller and just, like, give me all your cash.
Yeah.
And then just
me.
Walk
look
out.
Look at me. You're getting sleepy. You're going to reach in the drawer and give me your cash. Yeah, exactly.
Why not? Just walk
That's
out.
That's a great example. Or go to dinner with the bank president. Make friends with him.
Right.
And at dinner, while you're having dinner, talk about hypnosis. Well, let me give you an example. And then when you hypnotize him, part of his hypnosis is, tomorrow morning, you will open the bank early. I will be there with you. We'll go in the vault. You will get me $1 million. Mm. Why not?
And you will not remember any of it.
You won't remember any of it. You won't know where the money went, why it's missing, and I'll snap you out of it after I've left the country. Why not?
Every hypnosis giving person is the highest ethical standard.
Hypnotist.
Hypnotist. Oh, really? Yeah. Sure they are. Hey, how about this?
Sure.
For people who believe in this nonsense, how about this one? You're a hypnotist and a pretty good one. You would always get lucky on a date. You would. Well, during the date, you would hypnotize the girl. And at some point, when we leave here and go to my apartment, you will give me...
you will attack me.
You will become a nymphomaniac. Yeah. You'll almost kill me with sex, and then I'll snap my fingers, and you won't remember any of it. Why not?
Hashtag hypnosis 2. Mm-hmm.
I was the greatest. I will be the greatest sex partner you've ever had in your life.
And you'll tell all your girlfriends.
Yes.
No hypnotist would ever get, no woman would break up with a hypnotist or ever get divorced, because he could just say, you're still in love with me. Mm-hmm. You'll never break up with me.
Or he would say, when you meet with your attorney, you want nothing. You
$1.
Don't want any property. You don't want a house. You just want to get the hell away from me and me from you.
You now, want the kids, that, no child support.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the kids. You want the whole neighborhood.
Why not?
Yeah.
There is a code of ethics amongst the International Society for Hypnosis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a code of ethics in politics, too, but they don't follow it. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean everybody follows it. I think it's a great question and a great topic, and I've said many, look, I went to a hypnotist once ever, and it was absolutely a complete waste of time. And I did it to try to lose weight, not eat nervous eating and stress eating. And I've told the story. Sometimes I tell stories and I go, oh, people out there are going, oh, you told this. They're not again. So I don't know how long it's been since I told it, but it didn't work. But the same hypnotist, and the reason I went was a guy that I knew who was a chain smoker. I mean, this guy never was without a cigarette. And then I see him, he's doing some work at my house. We did an addition to my house, and he's not smoking. And even to see him not smoke for 5 minutes, I said, Tom, I've never seen you not smoking. He goes, I don't smoke anymore. And I said, since when? He said, since 4 weeks ago when I saw, and he mentioned this name of this woman. And he said, my wife stopped smoking, too. She was a chain smoker. I said, wow. What did she prescribe? He goes, not, oh, she hypnotized me. And he said, the minute I walked out, I've never smoked. I don't want to smoke. And I thought, whoa. I said, does she do weight loss? Like, you don't want to go to Steak and Shake anymore. He goes, oh, yeah. He said, that's one of the things she does, too. So he gave me her number. I called. I made an appointment. $75 an hour. I did 1 hour, $75. And he told me before I went, he said, now, I'm going to tell you something so you'll be prepared for it. It's in a home, but it's zoned commercial. It's a home-like setting. You're not a psychiatrist. So it's a hypnotist, but it's a recliner and a lamp, and she's in a chair. It's like somebody's living room. And he said, and the other thing you need to know is she may be as beautiful as any woman you have ever seen. And when she looks at you and you look at her, her eyes, and he was right. She was drop-dead gorgeous. I'd say she was 40, 38, 40, maybe 40, let's say 40. Absolutely stunning. And he said, man, and you won't want to eat like you do anymore. So I went. And I went in and I met her, and she was nice. She said, have a seat. I got in a recliner. And she said, to put it back, lie back a little bit, really comfortable. And then she started talking to me. And I'm telling you, I tried. I'm concentrating, like, be hypnotized. I'm serious. I really wanted.
I don't think that's how it works, though, is it? You can't tell yourself to be hypnotized.
No, because I cannot be hypnotized. I just can't. But I tried. I tried really hard. And then she did her thing.
Yeah.
And then she
tried really hard.
Get this part, though. She was so good looking. At one point during the hour when she's talking to me, she got up out of her chair and came over and stood next to me, and she held my hand. And I thought, okay, I know where this is going. This is one of those kind of hypnotists. And she was soothing. And then she went back and sat down. And when it was over, she says, well, how do you feel? I said, I can't wait to go to Steak and Shake. I said, I'm so hungry. All this talk about eating. Honest to goodness. And I said, I'm sorry, no offense. This did not work. Do you want and she said, do you want your money back? And I said, no, you did what you do for an hour. I said, does this ever not work for people? She said, oh, sure. There are people who cannot be hypnotized. She said, and you must be one of them. It absolutely had no impact. And on a stack of Bibles, Polygraph, this is true. I left her house and I went to Steak and Shake and had two double cheeseburgers.
Nice. Oh.
Yeah, that's how ineffective it was. So I see we have someone who wants to join in.
Yes.
He's always welcome. USA in your we'll ask him if he's ever been hypnotized. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet. Maybe years ago he was hypnotized, and the hypnotist says, you will say this for the rest of your life. We own our building and lot. And it worked.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you will say these words. Are you kidding me? And then he snapped her fingers, and he says it all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest Chevrolet dealer, probably car dealer you may ever meet, Johnny Londoff. Hello, John.
Are you kidding me?
See, or have you ever been hypnotized?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, apparently,
no.
Yeah.
No.
Why? You almost said hell no.
I know.
You can say hell, though. That's not, an FCC violation. You could say hell no if you want
heck
to.
No.
Yeah.
I would. Why would I want to be hypnotized?
Do you think you could be hypnotized? See, I don't. I don't.
I don't think so. No. I need to concentrate, and that's hard for me to do sometimes, to stay focused. So, and plus, I don't have time for it. So let me ask you, why do you think I would need to get hypnotized?
I didn't say you needed to be hypnotized.
Well, you're bringing it up as if maybe there's...
Bring it up because that's our topic. That's what we're talking about. You probably were too busy to listen earlier, but we were talking about hypnosis.
Okay.
And this I said, I said I was one. Tim, you ever been hypnotized?
No.
Limey?
Somebody attempted to, but it did not work.
Yeah, there you go. Dan?
No, never.
Scott?
One time, and it was like yours. I wanted
waste
to.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait to be. I thought I was going to go to some magic land, and all I thought the whole time was, I can't wait for this to be over.
You know what it's kind of like? And something.
See, Scott doesn't have time for this either, do you, Scott?
No.
Well,
I wanted to.
Look, everybody at some point has time. It's an hour. You can find an hour to be hypnotized.
I really wanted to, and it just didn't take.
Here's what it's kind of like. It, you you really, really want to be hypnotized, but you can't. It's like being with somebody, a really, really unattractive girl. You want to get an erection, but you can't. You just can't. You're looking at her, and you can't. You cannot get excited or aroused.
How do you know?
Where the heck does that come from?
I don't know.
I mean, there are impulses sometimes that come to your very, very, very...
strange mind?
Yeah, that's Frank's mind at work.
Well, I was trying to think of another example.
We're talking about getting hypnotized. You're like, if you're really with an unattractive...
Okay, but I was trying to think of an example of something else where you're really trying hard. You're trying, but you just can't. You just can't do it.
See, right there, that's the genius of Frank O'Pinion.
Or the mental illness.
No, it's the genius, I think. Oh, my goodness. I got a question for Scott.
Sure. Scott?
Yes,
John.
Sir. Yes.
Have you had a chance to see the Stanley Cup that the St. Louis Blues won a few weeks ago?
I saw it at the parade. I took my girlfriend's two little guys, and it was fantastic. I was actually tearing up a little bit as I saw Bob Plager and the Blues alumni, and when that cup came down, first Alex Petrangelo had it, and then Pat Maroon had it, and to see those people for 50 years waiting for that, as a Red Wings fan and a hockey fan, I said, this is so cool. And as I predicted, the greatest parade in the history of St. Louis.
It was awesome. You knew when it happened it was going to be epic, and it was just absolutely still something. When you talk to some of the great alumni, I saw John Kelly out. It's still something. Even my, did we really win this thing?
Yeah.
Hold on. This isn't a Twilight Zone. No, we did win it, and we... it's still fun to talk about. I just want to, because I know you're a Red Wings fan.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you guys are in the club because you earned it. And for a guy like you, I mean, from the first day that they played hockey here, to be close and not have it, and I just, it was like trying to explain, I don't know, like color to somebody that can't see. I can't explain how it feels, but once you feel it, it's the greatest feeling that you'll ever have as a sports fan.
How about this? Wendell World this year at the beginning of the season decided to partner with the Blues.
You're
perfect
right.
Perfect timing.
Perfect timing. Maybe they were the good luck charm.
How unbelievable is that?
And John, you guys, you Blues fans, were so great about not getting cocky, riding it along, dealing with the ups and downs, and then the way that you handled yourselves, not just at the parade, but during the last couple of weeks.
I think we were afraid.
That's why they were excited. They were handling it.
Yeah.
Well, we had to. Class. It was the Stanley Cup.
It was 100% class all the way around. Organization, fans,
well, not 100%, 98%, with the exception of the little thing on stage where some Blues players were throwing the F-bomb out on live TV. 98% class. But there was that little exception, which most people forgive them for.
Yes.
Oh, immediately.
I have to explain something. I mean, I know, because we talked about this before, that's hockey. I mean, you know, if you went online and watched any of the post-game in the locker room, they had the cameras and the mics in the locker room, and here's Coach Berube. You know, he's coming in there, and what was beautiful is they didn't bleep it out. They just kind of just etched it out to where you just had a second of nothingness. But there was a lot of seconds of nothingness. I know that's the locker room. And I know you can say, well, that's hockey. It's just sports, period. But still, no doubt, 110% the classiest professional athletes in all of sport are hockey players.
I agree.
If you look and see how many of these Blues players have taken the cup to a young person who is battling cancer, they go to the Children's Hospital.
Layla.
Meet her down at Charlie Gito's downtown by the ballpark. I mean, and I got to eat ravioli out of the cup.
Whoa!
Are you kidding me? Get a picture with my boys with the.
I saw the picture. You showed it to me.
We're eating ravioli. I mean, come on. Pitch me. Is this really going on?
But what about all the hockey players that are always beating women? Wait, that's the NFL. Sorry.
That's the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's somebody in another team that says, hey, you know, he's over that. Let's. He can run with the ball. He can catch a ball. We'll give him another chance. That's craziness. But hockey players are the best.
John, you know what the best part about your team winning the Stanley Cup is? It never gets old.
No.
Can you imagine when this next season opens, the opener?
Oh,
that they're still going to be, it's like somebody relit the fuse from what happened.
And they already said they're going to have to stop selling season tickets at a certain point to keep seats available for fans that can't go every game and stuff.
But maybe they'll have Busch Stadium open. And show it on the big screen. No,
yeah.
Good stuff. It is good stuff. All right, so let's get back on hypnotism.
Okay. he's being sarcastic. Oh. Well, how about this, though? For people who believe in hypnotism, if it really is something people can do, then John would hire a hypnotist. And the hypnotist would work the dealership. And when a customer came in, they'd meet him, and it seemed just like friendly chit-chat. But all the time, the hypnotist is hypnotizing the person to buy a brand-new Chevy. And everybody who walked out would buy a car and then get home and go, wow, I didn't really mean to buy it today. I wonder what happened. Well, they don't know they were hypnotized. See? Another thing you could do with it. Misuse it.
Let me just say this. You know, we don't need a hypnotist.
No. You
to
don't.
Convince people to buy from us.
No, you
we have
don't.
Frank, we have frank opinion. You're like the hypnotist. Mm. You're the one that just gets these AM and the PM. I mean, when they come in, they are just...
They're under the sort of the spell of this show.
They love you.
Kind of like being a hypnotist.
I mean, I don't know what it's like to be loved.
I don't either.
When my Labrador looks at me with those little eyes of that, like, ooh, and like, that's the way your listeners are when they come to Johnny Londop Chevrolet. Mm. You know, but they get... want to shake the hand that has shook the hand of Frank Opinion many, many times. And here's the other beautiful thing. Let's talk about this. You know, AM of the PM listeners, not the reason to come and buy from us. There's great many reasons because we take great care of you. But this guy, Frank, he'll call you. He'll call and talk to you for however long you want to talk. Nobody does that. I'm damn nobody. I'm bragging on you.
Well, I don't call people who don't want to be called, but if you tell me somebody's a listener and you know they'd appreciate it, of course I'll call.
Well, most, I mean, 99.9% of the AM and the PM people are very outgoing. They're very, even Mimi Londo goes, well, they must be really smart because they're listening to the show. And so they want to laugh, they want to have fun, and it is great. And then you get this segment coming on with Scott, which I know you love it. It's one of the best of all. There's nothing like it. Because you guys do great work. I always listen. I listen to that segment, not only because, Scott, you're awesome, but because I love that, Frank, you want to answer it. I love when you go, Scott, let me take a shot at this.
I enjoy that. I enjoy it. It's fun to try. You know, look, I hated school. I would never have what it takes to be an attorney or even a police officer, but there are things about both that I really like, it, and I admire the people who are able to do it. And sometimes it's fun to just see whether or not I can, you know, speculate as to how the outcome of something would be. And, you know, I'm right probably as often as most people would be right. But some of it's common sense. It is.
It's fun. And, you know, it's the rules of life. So it's learning, and it's, I guess, an entertaining thing at the same time.
And we'll be doing it again in about 20 minutes.
Fantastic.
That, you do. You do a great service for a lot of people, and you know what? Because there's a lot of shysters out there. Is that a good word?
That's a good word. That's a great word. I haven't heard it for a while.
You want to take advantage of people. So.
Charlatan. Well, shyster. Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a reason to get hypnotized. Stop doing that.
John, while you're on, you actually have a chance to get in early. Do you have a legal question for Scott? Anything?
I don't.
On? Okay.
I don't. We've... So when I got out of school, May, June of 1980, and then we had an attorney. It was the city of Florissant attorney, Tim Kelly, God rest his soul.
Oh, yeah.
And when is small claims court? Is it like the second Tuesday of every month or whenever? We would go like once a month and handle some cases. And then after like 7 or 8 or 9 months of this, I went into my dad's office. I'm like, I have a novel idea. I love you. I know you're a fighter, Marine. I was a boxer as a kid. Let's just take care of people. Let's just take care
of
people.
So you actually started to study to be a lawyer?
No. I did. I asked in March of 1980. I said, I got three or four of my buddies that are going to University of Texas Law School, and I would like to, you know, think about it. I think that I would have really enjoyed it. And he goes, no, you're getting your, you know what, back here in St. Louis and start, you know, taking this place over for me. So,
yeah, it all worked out.
It's pretty good. I'm pretty happy. So, well, listen, have a great rest of the show. Thanks for letting me have so much airtime today. And give us a call, AM and the PM listeners. You are loved. You're adored at Johnny Lund of Chevrolet. 314-837-1800. 314-837-1800. 247-365 at Lundoff.com.
All right, John. Thank you.
Don't get hypnotized.
No, I won't. No, I can't be. Bye. Thank you. No, I truly do believe. I'd be willing to make an offer like this. Yeah, don't worry about people calling and answering the phones. That's not your job. Oh, okay. Yes, it is. Here's the deal I'd be willing to make.
There was no one calling.
Well, there wasn't. They finally gave up. I've been watching the thing ring, and they gave up. Here's the deal I'd be willing to make to my, if you could do the swing the watch or count down and watch my finger and all this stuff and really hypnotize me, I'll give you $1,000. Okay, but if you can't, you got to give me $1,000. So how confident are you as a hypnotist that you could do that?
Well, maybe the fact that we can't get hypnotized is because we go in there and we're like, we're just thinking, I want to be hypnotized. I want to be hypnotized. Maybe you have to completely switch off your mind.
I don't know, but I don't know how to do that. You're either going in thinking, okay, go ahead, you're not going to hypnotize me, or you're thinking, I would think it would be to their advantage if you're thinking, okay, I'm giving you everything I got. I want to be hypnotized. It can't be done with me. Now with a chemical shot, it can. Sodium pentothal, is that it, Scott? The truth serum or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they can give people things that cause them to apparently say things that...
I've always wanted to do that to see if it actually works.
To have it shot into you?
Yeah, to go to, like, you know, the FBI or something, just be like, hey, you know, ask me some relatively easy questions and see what happens.
I'll tell you what I've always wanted to do. I want to do a polygraph. I'd like to take a polygraph test. Yeah.
That, I think, would be very interesting.
I've
heard of ways that you can, like,
I think I could.
And I think so too, because there are many different ways. Like it judges your perspiration and your heart rate, and I think there's something else.
Well, it's your breathing.
Your breathing, right?
It's your heart rate. It's your perspiration, and it's your body movements. Whether you're nervous, jerking, moving.
Because the guy asking the questions also may, or the person asking the questions also judges that as well, right? When they're taken into account.
Well, they have a set of control questions.
Yeah.
And what's funny is it's almost entirely inadmissible in court, which I could care less about. I just want to see somebody get strapped to the lie detector and be asked a bunch of very probing, very personal questions and see how they do with
that. Simpson? That'd be kind of
There is a football player for the Tennessee Titans who's in the news today. His name is Taylor Lewan. He's an offensive lineman, and the NFL suspended him today for the first four games of the upcoming season for having a banned substance in his system. He went and took a lie detector test and posted the video of the lie detector test and the results of the test on his Instagram page to try and prove that he had no idea that he was putting this substance into his system, which he still doesn't know how it got in there, and the NFL still suspended him.
But I believe it's possible you can have stuff in your system and you don't know how it got in there.
Did he say what the substance
is? But why would they have suspended him if that's not even admissible in court?
Well, he was just using that as part of his appeal to the NFL because he says he had no idea how it got in there. It was a steroid related.
Apparently, it didn't carry much weight because they still suspended him.
Right. Correct. But that was the first time I ever seen an athlete do that, though. That's been charged with anything.
And Scott, here's my take some calls because we have people calling. Here's my question:
sure.
If it's not admissible, why did they even bother to ever give anybody polygraph?
Investigation, they try to get people to confess. And then they say, well, you flunked the polygraph. Now you better tell us what you did. Yeah, I killed everybody.
Okay.
And then they do it that way.
Okay.
The only time it's ever used in Missouri or allowed, some states are different. Some states are a little more lenient about it. So if somebody says, well, you know, Kentucky uses it, that might be true. But in this state, the only time it's admissible is if you lie about whether or not you took a lie detector test. The fact that you isn't it true that you took a lie detector test? No, but that's admissible. But the contents of the lie detector test or the polygraph are inadmissible in Missouri courts, and most courts, including Illinois.
There's a guy that has a polygraph business in my office building in Sunset Hills down the hall from my PI office. And I had a chat with him one day and asked him what he charged to do that. And he goes, well, it sort of depends on the circumstance. He goes, but a standard fee for it is usually around $400 or $500. And he said, and I said, wow. I said, so like what happens? Does the person who hires you ask, give you a bunch of questions that they want asked to the person? Like if they're paying for the test, like if I wanted to have somebody take a lie detector test,
right.
He said, no, he goes, you only get four questions for that. He goes, all the rest of the questions I ask as, baseline questions. And then you tell me what four questions you want to ask. Then I decide when those questions are inserted into
wow.
the exam.
Has anybody here ever watched anybody being given a polygraph test? I mean, stood there and watched it?
No.
Not like a real one.
You can buy them online.
By what?
Polygraph machines.
Well, I'm sure you can, but mm-hmm. my question is, have you ever watched like an authorized FBI? One time, I got to stand and watch them giving somebody, and you won't believe what it was for. A bass tournament. The big bass tournaments with the big money. They take the winner into a motorhome or a building or an office and give, because bass fishermen.
They cheat.
They have absolutely in the past on some occasions cheated and they know exactly the questions to ask them. And I thought, I thought this is unbelievable. Wow. The person I was with, and it's the only real big bass tournament I've ever been to, and it was fascinating because I watched the weigh in and he said, well, here's the best part. Come with me. And so they took the winner. And I walked in and they got this guy hooked up to the stuff and they're asking him. And I said, what is this about? He said, to make sure that he actually legitimately won the tournament, because people think of ingenious ways to win fishing tournaments. You know, they'll put BB's weights into the fish to make it weigh more. They'll hide the fish in a cove or in some bushes and tie it with a string ahead of time and then go catch it. I mean, all kinds of stuff like that. You maybe not use the bait, because in a fishing tournament they go, here's what you can use. No live bait, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And they want to make sure you follow the rules, especially if there's big money involved. If somebody's putting up, you know, $1 million, Johnson or Zebco or whoever. I thought that was... Let's talk a couple of quick calls. I would give the numbers, but we already got a bunch of calls. Will is first. Will, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
How you doing, Frank?
Terrific.
Show AM and the PM.
Thank you.
I have a question for Scott.
All right. Now, that's next hour. You're kind of cheating. You're sneaking this in here on him, because he doesn't have time to really go into great detail, but go ahead.
I'm sorry. We, over at Spanish Lake, they took our sidewalk, our yards, and put a sidewalk in for the school over here. Since then, and the way they did it, it looks like a skateboard rink. The ditch floods so bad, and it's backwashing, and I think there's a sewer collapse in there, and I can't get nobody to do nothing about it.
Well, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Please don't think I'm a jerk. It does not start till the 4 o'clock hour, and the reason I have to do this, I will have emails from people mad at me who try to get in and can't get in for letting somebody in early. Would you call right back right after the news?
Yes, but Frank, you remember when you talked about that university plane that crashed some years ago?
Yeah. You mean Ozark? Yeah.
In Baden, when that plane, my grandmother and I, we lived in Baden. She had the Eats Diner next to the Baden Bank in Baden. We were hanging laundry on the porch and saw lightning strike that plane.
Wow.
Mom calls us from Normandy. We beeline it back to Alva, where we lived when it was Carson Road before Hanley. My brother and I jumped on our bikes and ran over to the scene, and it was terrible. And we wish we hadn't done it, because we actually saw people in a bad way.
Oh, my goodness. All I did was it flew over me, and I knew I'd never heard a plane that low. That thing was coming down.
Exactly. And you could see from our backyard, because it was such a tall house, we were on the top of the hill at Sells and Newby. And, Gimlin and Newby, you could see past Schweitzer over the cemetery, but you could see the plane super low.
Oh, my goodness. I can't imagine going and seeing the aftermath of that and those people that were killed. And, I didn't have to do that. Hey, Will, call us right back. Will you after the news?
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for understanding. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Good. I was wondering if it was you that told a story years ago about your brother falling through a ceiling while your parents had a party?
No, my brother never fell through the ceiling.
Mm-mm.
No.
He was walking on the rafters and his leg fell through or something?
And that was not me. No.
Dan, was that you? No.
My brother didn't. No.
Afraid not.
All right.
Thank you.
There goes.
Solve that problem.
Yeah, no, I. You ever go up in the attic and try to walk on the
I had to do that all the time.
On the studs and not fall through?
When I was
creepy. It's
in pest
scary.
Control, going up into the attic looking for squirrels all the time, stepping on the rafters. You have to be careful.
Yeah, because if you step between them, your leg will go down through the ceiling.
Drywall.
You'd think that, why don't they, in the attic, just automatically put down plywood or something so you could get
there around. There are little runs in between, like where the, you can see like their actual like plank walkways through, but they don't go all the way around the, attic.
Never like going in the attic because you always come down with all that insulation crap,
itchy
crap, and then there's always some stuff in there like snake skins or some remnants of pellets of some animal doo doo or something. Let's get Beanie in here. We'll just have time to do that. Beanie, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, I am great. How are you?
I'm great. I don't get to talk to too many people named Beanie. I like that.
It's a nickname.
I would imagine.
I've had it forever.
What can we do?
I have a polygraph story for you guys.
Can you do it in 3 minutes?
3 minutes.
Okay.
I was one of the original opening employees of the TGI Fridays on Olive Street.
Okay.
So I went into management with them, and every 6 months, they would hook every employee up to a polygraph machine.
Wow.
And if you even said that you stole a fork, they fired you.
Wow. I would think they'd fire you if you said you didn't and it showed you were lying.
No, I mean, I'm telling you, it was crazy.
So even if you told the truth, knowing you were on a polygraph, they'd fire you.
Fired.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I bet there was a lot of sweating in that room. That would make
sense. They'd line us up.
I'm going to guess, Scott's here, I'm going to guess that they can't even do that anymore. That would be illegal. Scott, could a company do that? Nowadays, could they do that?
You know, I think they probably could because they're a private actor and make people submit to the polygraph. I don't think
Beanie, they abused it and started asking you questions about your personal life.
Are you attracted to the manager?
Exactly.
Say yes.
So I'm sure.
Well, you know what? A lot of them back then, too, were drug questions.
Right.
You know, because that Friday's open, 1979.
Why not just have people subjected to random drug tests?
Yeah, they literally hooked us up
every
polygraphs every 6 months.
Wow. I've never heard that.
We watched people get fired right and left. Right and left.
Never heard of that.
I just thought that you would enjoy that.
No, that's a great story.
That restaurant has definitely changed. They don't do that anymore.
I would imagine not. All right. What is Beanie? Is it short for something? What's your real name?
No, actually, I come from a crazy Sicilian family, and everybody is either Joseph or Josephine.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother just couldn't understand why we had the same name. So he took Bean and started calling me Bean, and I'm 65, and I still go by Beanie.
Yeah, you sound 35.
Oh, I love you.
No, you do. You're 60. By the way, you're 65. You're my favorite age. Yeah. That's my favorite age, by the way. All right,
Beanie. I was in the Kirkwood Brew House yesterday, and I think I saw Dan come in. Pretty sure he came in.
Describe the person you saw that you thought was Dan.
Really handsome.
No, shut up, Dan. Dan.
Really handsome.
No. See, you
playing the air guitar. Yeah, that's.
No, Dan. That was not Dan. No, sorry, that wasn't Dan.
I did go in with Tim. I walked in with Tim when he was looking for his wallet.
Well, then that was Tim. Pretty handsome. That would be
it was me.
Yeah, that'd be Tim. Yeah.
I'm telling you. Yeah, because you guys walked up to the bar and you were talking to Junior.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, I was sitting right there.
Well, you should have said hello.
Yeah.
Well, they talked real quick, and then they booked out. And I was with friends, and I didn't want to make a scene going, oh, my God, can I have your autograph?
Oh, they've never heard those words.
I'm just curious, ma'am, if you had to flip a coin after about 7 cocktails, me or Dan?
Oh, well, maybe she doesn't know which is which.
Dan. Sorry, we are way late.
Dan, because he's got a wallet.
We're barely late at all. Beanie, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. No, we're not late.
I am late with the sound music.
No, but that's your fault. You should have started that a long time ago. All right, here's the way this works. Some of you know the numbers and some don't, but I will give them right out of the news and then beginning of Scott Sherman's segment. If you have a legal question, he's here for you next hour. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Larry Connors. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, and 590thefan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. The Senate Intelligence Committee is out with its long-awaited report on Russian interference in the 2016 election. The bipartisan document finds that the Russian government directed a sweeping effort that started as early as 2014. It adds U.S. election systems remain vulnerable. 16 Marines based at Camp Pendleton.